Hello, welcome back to the Monday Mootcast. It's episode 34, folks. And I'm Mike O'Mara, and I'm here, as always, with Greg.
Over.
Oh, yeah, it's you.
Sorry. And Andrea Busoff.
Yeah, and I'm still Mike O'Mara. And and we're back. Andrea.
Yeah.
If you were watching our YouTube version right now, you see on the screen, it looks like Crisis. Can it be?
Yeah, it is. This is actually footage of me for the first time playing the Crisis 3 beta.
Oh, my.
You know, It went, you know, nothing, don't expect anything spectacular, but I had a lot of fun with it. This first game mode crash site, you know, I never really played it much in Crysis 2. As far as Crysis goes, I really like the team deathmatch.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of like Domination, sort of.
Sure.
Like you have, or I guess Demolition.
Hmm.
Like you would attack the objective or defend it, I don't know. I admit, I didn't really know what I was doing, but my teammates were god-awful, so we would lose, like, 220.
Nice.
So just blame them, is what you're saying?
Right.
Oh, of course, absolutely. And then, after this, I go into the other game mode that you could play, which is Hunter.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like Crisis Zombies.
Right.
I really like being the Hunter, because you're this ghost creature with a crossbow, which is a lot of fun.
That is fun.
If you're just a regular soldier, it's kind of scary because you can't really see the hunters, so you don't really know where they are. But, you know, as the hunter gameplay progresses, I'm like, okay, getting the hang of this a little more. But, the maps are really cool. They still have some things to work out. There was some point, I forget where, but I try to aim down the sights of the gun that I'm using now, and it wouldn't let me.
Oh, no.
I tried to fire my gun, it wouldn't do anything.
So. You were cursed.
I know. But overall, I think it's pretty fun. I think I would like to get Crysis 3. You know, do I want to get it day one when it's brand new? Probably not, but I think eventually I would like to get it.
Cool. I got it pre-ordered.
Of course you do.
Of course you do.
I really like Crysis.
Fine, you can like it.
Okay, good.
Sheesh.
Favorite part of Crysis? The super low-voiced announcer.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part.
Cloaking Days. Yeah, that's the best part. I love it. Okay, so you played some Crysis 3 beta. What else did you play?
Yeah, I also played a little bit of Dead Island.
Nice.
I just was kind of, you'll see some of that gameplay later, just, you know, exploring the island. I'm still a Dead Island newbie.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm trying to figure out... you know, get more comfortable with the workbench and upgrading weapons and blah, blah, blah. But overall, I really like stabbing zombies with my knife.
Man,
because
it's super fun.
I play as the Asian girl who's good with sharp objects, so that's a lot of fun.
Mm.
Definitely not stereotypical.
No.
In the slightest.
No, not at all.
Also, I think if you go on Craigslist, you can find a whole wanted section for Asian chicks that are good with sharp objects. But that's probably not the same kind of experience you're looking for in Dead Island.
It's probably the same. You should check it out.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Cool.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, so that's it. My video gameplay has been kind of light this week. Just some Crysis and some Dead Island. And of course... Halo Spartan Ops, which we played earlier
super
this
fun.
Week. So.
Super fun.
You're trying to forget about that, right? You're just like, I should mention this.
No, it happened almost a week ago, I forget. But that was episode 7 that we recorded, and now episode 8 comes out tomorrow.
Which we are all excited for, I would imagine, after 6 and 7.
I really
so
like
better.
7. 6 and
really?
7.
Oh, you didn't play the other ones.
You
didn't see how
you
much better.
No right
I know,
opinion,
I know.
You have no authority here.
Authority.
We will not respect that authority. It's not there.
Anyway.
Cool.
Greg, what have you been playing?
What did I play?
Yeah.
I played Dead Island.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Pretty good amount. I found an orange baseball bat.
Sweet.
That was killing people in one hit.
Nice.
It was amazing. It's called the home run.
Oh, the home run.
So, that's pretty cool. What else did I do? I played a decent amount of Black Ops Zombies.
Okay.
I wanted to play the new map, Die Rise.
Yeah.
Which is, it's interesting.
It's upside down,
upside down, some of the parts are. Brian Stone is the one who, played it a lot.
Okay.
So he kind of showed me the ropes. And, I don't know, it's a good map. Much better than... the stupid fire bus level.
Yeah.
I can't stand running into the lava. It drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree. I feel like if the whole fire lava thing was taking out, fine. It'd be cool.
And it's really annoying.
And the face huggers in the fog.
Oh, yeah, I don't like those guys.
They're face huggers?
Yeah, yeah, they like jump on your head, and then you have to knife them off.
Ew.
But once you knife them off, you only have like 3 seconds before another one falls on your head. So you're constantly knifing.
Yeah. It's annoying.
It's aggravating. I also played the new turned mode, which we played a little
bit. Yeah, we played a little bit, yeah.
It's all right. I think it'd be a fun party game, but other than that, not a whole lot going
on. So what do you do? Because I'm behind with Call of Duty. I don't have the DLC.
There's one human, and the other people are zombies, but they're fast.
They're super fast.
They're very fast. And so, like, if you get a kill as a human, then you actually lose a gun rank. It's like reverse gun game.
Right.
Oh.
So you'll go down in rank until you have this crappy starting pistol.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get killed, then whoever killed you becomes the next human.
And then it counts time for, like, how long were you able to be the human.
Interesting.
Yeah. It'd be a fun party game. Overall, I like versus mode better.
Right.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I forget. Grief mode.
Yeah.
So you get points for living longer?
Mm-hmm.
You get points for like living longer, you get points for crisis. Kills.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We did that, and I think that was about it.
Yeah.
Really.
I've been, well, I played some Crysis 3 beta because I already have it pre-ordered. I played through the Dead Space 3 beta because I already have the pre-order. I played some Guardians of Middle-earth because it's still, like, the only option for that kind of game on console, and it's still really fun, even though, you know, the netcode still, like, half the time it's great and half the time it's unplayable, but I still love the game, so I played a little bit of that. And Halo with you guys much earlier this week. Yeah, that was kind of my game output this week. I had hoped that my only problem with this Crysis beta is I had hoped it would feel a little bit more different from every other shooter. Like, I like the look of it. I like the nano suit. I really like the bow and arrow mechanic of the new one. But the rest of it just kind of feels like a reskin Call of Duty, which is unfortunate. I don't want things to feel like that.
See, I don't think so.
Really?
I think the whole the cloak engaged and armor abilities, I think that really changes the game.
Yeah.
Because even when you sprint, that drains your suit battery power. So it's like everything you do, you really have to plan.
I don't pay attention to that enough. Like, I really don't, because I'm, like, so used to running everywhere in games, because that's kind of my playstyle, so I'm like, yay, run! And I've got, like, no armor, and then someone kills me in, like, one shot.
I know, I think if you have the cloak engaged, and then you fire your gun, it's, like, an instant shield drain.
So that's a bummer. No-no.
So I always try to, if, you know, cloak engaged, switch to armor if you're going to shoot someone.
Right.
I think that's how it works. That's my limited understanding of Crysis. But
it certainly looks pretty. Like,
oh,
it's,
definitely.
It's a really good-looking game. I hope that the single player is good. I really, really, really do.
Because,
like, Crysis doesn't really have a multiplayer following. Like, it does when it comes out, but it's, like, in a month, everyone will be back. Yeah, everyone will be back to playing Call of Duty, so it's going to be worth the purchase if the single player is really good. But I like the single player in Crysis 2, so I should like it here. I hope I do. We'll see. Although, like, it's really stupid that it's back to Prophet, isn't it? Like, he killed himself, and then you were the other guy who got the suit, and now suddenly, like, Prophet's like, oh, never mind. Like, he came back to life and took the suit back.
Took him over somehow or something.
What?
If it is, that's stupid. I don't know what the story's going to be for Crysis 3. I couldn't really follow it in Crysis 2. I thought it was kind of all over the place. It took me a long time to finish the campaign just because I wasn't really, like, super interested in it. I played through most of it, and then, like, months later, I finally finished it.
Halo. Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Something's stuck in my throat.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. But if he comes back, then, again. Like, what?
Yeah. No. It doesn't, I mean, whatever. It's a crazy sci-fi, like, whatever. I mean, I'm in it for the aliens and to see destroyed New York City, so.
Sure.
We'll see how that goes. Dead Island. You mentioned Dead Island, Andrea and Greg.
Yes.
We've all been playing through it co-op and recording some of our co-op play on our channel as well. It's one of my definite sleeper hits from last year, or 2 years ago, I guess now. And I hope that you guys like it as well. Seems like you do. But if you have heard anything about Dead Island and you're a casual fan, probably what you have seen is the trailer, which was like one of the best video game trailers of all time. It was awesome. And if you, even if you don't care a lick about the game, you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Dead Island announced trailer, and you'll see the coolest piece of advertising.
It was very, very awesome.
Very awesome. The fans got a little bit ticked off when the game came out a couple years ago because the gameplay did not reflect what the trailer showed. So the trailer is like got slow-mo piano music in it, and this shows this family in the midst of the zombie apocalypse going on the island, and it's like heart-wrenching because like the daughter dies, like turns to a zombie, they have to throw her out the window, and it's horrible.
Oh.
Yeah. But the game is like a little bit more lighthearted than that.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit more tongue-in-cheek. So people got mad about it, and I guess the developer or the publisher, who was it, Greg? Like
Developer? Deep Silver came out this past week, and they were like, it wasn't misleading, the announcement trailer. It wasn't at all.
Really?
So I'll just read what they said.
Sure.
We did many gameplay trailers with in-game footage before the release, so labeling the CGI misleading would be ridiculous. We never pretended to be something different. Explains Guido Eichmeier,
really?
Deep Silver's creative director.
Don't ever have a guy named Guido like doing your PR, because that sounds like way too mob. Like, hey, don't talk to me about that.
But he mentions that, like, you know, the game did have emotional experiences in the co-op. And it's like, I find that to be a cop-out. I don't know. You know, like, I understand what you're saying, and I do agree it has its moments and all that, but just what I've played already, there have been parts where, like, the one mission where you have to burn the bodies.
Yeah, right.
And, like, the one guy, he sets up the whole, like, I don't know.
Bodybuilding, yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he, you know, then this, like, woman in the background is singing opera.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. He's, like, kneeling
seriously?
On the ground.
Yes. I have that mission on my map. But I haven't done it yet.
It's so cornball.
It's so stupid, because it's like, I've just been going around murdering anything that moves.
Anything.
Yep.
And now, for some reason, you want me to mourn these people who
people
I've
that
never
you,
met?
You never
you
met
want
them,
me to cry about them? No.
Yeah.
Try again.
I mean, I think if they would have had, if they would have put more time into the voice acting, and more time into, like, the story, then I can see where they're coming from. But it's obvious that they built a loot fest, like a la Borderlands.
Right.
And it's not that they're overtly trying to be funny, but it's like, it's obvious that that's where the stress of the development was. Like, it wasn't, like, creating heart-wrenching things. Because, like, also, there's a bunch of things that are silly. Like, every woman's in a bikini. Like, I get that it's a resort town, and when, like, the, you know, when the zombie poop hit the fan, like, they were all in the bikinis on the beach. But, like, as you go through the game, then, the women should probably find other clothes and, like, wrap themselves up in a blanket or something, because
the ones in the city are clothed.
I guess, yeah. But still, I mean, like, I've never seen so many bikinis in my life. Like, in the zombie apocalypse. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, it's this cornball, and all the guys are, like, completely six-pack abs, like, no shirt on.
Yeah. That's how most guys are, right?
Yeah, well,
every guy.
I mean, I am, but I mean, I didn't think that most guys were, so
I don't know. I guess I think if they did something like The Walking Dead, if they took a page out of that book and made their characters a little more memorable,
yeah,
I think it would be awesome. Because it's like, you talk with Cinnamon, or I'm sorry,
Cinnamoy.
We call him Cinnamon. Cinnamoy, like, quite often, you know,
yeah.
And then there was this, at the beginning, this voice on the other end of somewhere who've never met or talked to again, I don't think. I don't recall. But it's like, who are these people? You know, I'm however many hours into this game. I don't care about any of them. Just let me go out and beat thugs in the face with my baseball bat.
Right.
No, I agree. The only name I can remember is Danny Craig, because I think of
Daniel. He's Daniel Craig, yeah.
But, I mean, I just remember his name. Anything else with those characters, I agree. They bled into one another. They're not memorable.
Yeah.
So, Anyways.
I need to see that trailer.
You need to see the trailer. I disagree with them. I think they...
It sounds misleading just from your description.
Because, I was hoping for a much bigger story.
Right. I mean, I don't think that they were malicious. I mean, I see what they're talking about. And, like, I'm so into zombie games that, like, I knew about that game a long time. Because it was delayed for, like, a year. It was supposed to come out. And I remember seeing the story about it in one of my video game magazines, like, 3.5 years ago. So I was excited for the game. So, yeah, they did release, like, they released a lot of gameplay footage before that. So I get where they're coming from. But the whole world saw that trailer because it was so good. And that's a credit to them on one hand. Like, they obviously hired the right team to make that, and they made an awesome, awesome piece of advertising. But, like, that is severely misleading. If that's the only thing you saw about the game, and then you bought the game because the trailer was so good, which I think a lot of people did, because it sold, like, 5 million copies. Like, it was their biggest hit ever, Deep Silver.
Mm-hmm.
You would be misled. Like, that's not how the game is. Like, you know, it is not...
False advertising!
Well, I mean, any time that you can put a saw blade that's electrified on a baseball bat, that's a little cornball. Like, that's not...
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It is.
I mean, I love it. I love the game. I love the game for what it is. But I'm not going to go into it thinking there's going to be, like, single tier at the end of my game session. Like,
right.
It's just a gore fest. Like, it's a really good loot gore fest with zombies, which is fun as hell. But, like...
And there's an orange baseball bat called the Home Run.
The Home Run, And there's a million things. Yeah, and there's a million... So it's really tongue-in-cheek, you know? If they wanted to go gritty, they could have. They could have, like, literally just had no stats and just be like, use whatever's in the world and try to survive. Like, that would be gritty. Like, and it wouldn't be called, like, Orange Baseball Doom. Like, it would just be a baseball bat. Like, it's just what you find, you know? And if they wanted to go that way, I would have loved that game, too, probably, because I love zombies, you know? And I love co-op games, but, like...
Yeah, that's called Zombie U, though, and it didn't do so hot, so...
Well, that also didn't do so hot for other reasons.
Right.
So. The idea is awesome.
But, like, the idea of Dead Island, like, I like the Loot Fest. I like that part of it. I would never want to see that go. But I just think that if you're going to come out with an announcement trailer like that and then not live up to that, that's a little bit of a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of trailers, I don't know if you saw, like, that mockumentary Bioshock thing that came out this past week.
I didn't.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about marketing? That is another fantastic trailer. It's like this old... 80s, like, History Channel documentary.
Oh, about?
Like, the city, and, like, where did it go?
Oh,
what
that's
happened
cool.
To it? And in 1960, there was this crashed building in a mountain, but we don't know where the rest of the city is. It's just really, really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's like, that's gonna live up to the story of Bioshock, because that's, you know, its focus.
Right.
And, like, Dead Island did not have that focus. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Riptide's gonna be like. I don't know if they have a story focus or not.
Well, I think it's kind of the same thing. Actually, Riptide came out with a like kind of a throwback a trailer for it. So there is another CGI kind of like emotional, like it's this couple trapped on their boat and like they're like starving and the zombies are coming around them. It's actually another really good trailer, but it's like the same kind of thing because you know that Riptide is going to be the same game. It's going to be a sequel.
Right.
With the same gameplay, like, so am I getting it? Of course I am, because I like Dead Island, so I'm going to like Riptide, but like I know what I'm getting into. I don't think that suddenly I'm going to boot up Riptide and be like, I'm crying because the zombies killed the family. Like, no.
That's what Walking Dead is for, right?
Right, exactly. Like, I'm going to go in there and rip some stuff up with, like, my Ripper mod baseball bat, you know?
Right. I guess I think about, and they didn't really pull it off properly, but I think about Gears of War 2. I remember in the development they were like, well... You know, the first one was nothing but an action movie.
Yeah,
there really wasn't a whole lot of story.
Right.
There really wasn't anything, like, you know, deep.
But right.
And two, I remember them saying, well, we're going to put stuff in the game so that it's there if you want it, but if you don't, you don't really need to pay attention.
Right.
Or you can skip the conversations entirely. And while Gears of War 2's story is nothing to talk about in any way, shape, or form.
Not really.
I like the fact that that is there, and an experience like Dead Island, I feel like that would benefit it a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So, that's my suggestion, Deep Silver, because I know you're all listening.
All of them.
All of them.
They
totes are.
Every single one of them.
There. We're on the pulse of the industry. We have their ear. Yeah, well... Yeah, it was misleading. Sorry, Deep Silver. It was great game, misleading trailer.
Yes.
So Leland Yee, our favorite senator from California, Leland Yee, who we've been mercilessly verbally attacking the past 2 or 3 weeks, he said that gamers have no credibility. If you were with us last week, he said gamers have no horse in the race of the game's violence debate. And then his staffer said, no, he didn't really mean that. And now suddenly, what did he do?
He apologized.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
So his original comment was, gamers just got to quiet down. Gamers have no credibility in this argument.
That was dumb of him.
And then
he... just a little.
Yeah.
He just issued an apology via Twitter. So, oh, very, very, very professional.
Official. Sorry, nerds.
Gamers, I admittedly didn't use best words to SF Chron, San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah.
Meant video game industry has an inherent conflict of interest in the gun violence debate. He went on to add, I have a lot of respect for many gamers. Many are on my staff and in my family, but the industry has profited at the expense of children. Like, I don't know why, he just can't let this go.
Time to let this go.
He really has this vendetta, and the whole children thing, I'm sorry, if I can go off on a slight political just tangent.
Go for it.
All right, I hate when politicians use children.
Oh, yeah.
As an excuse. Like, I hate it. You are not protecting anybody.
Right.
Like, they are going to grow up and be full-on adults one day. It's like, you leave that to the parents.
Right.
Stop, like, pandering to... Like, I don't know.
It's parental
emotional
fear.
Parents.
Yeah.
And like, oh, God, they need to save me. Like, no.
Right. No, that's not the way
stop
it works.
Stop it. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, it's annoying. And, I mean, like, as we've gone over, you know, ad nauseum on this show, and they've gone out over ad nauseum on a million different shows when talking about this debate, like, it's, there is a rating system in place. Like, yes, it's voluntary, but I don't know of any developer that decides not to use it. Everyone uses
Everyone
it.
Everyone does.
It's
right.
on the label. And you can't get these games that are, by the way, $60+ with tax. Like, you can't just get them at the five and dime. Like some 10-year-old can't go into 7-Eleven with enough money.
Right.
Like, if any 10-year-old has $65, the parents know how he or she got it. And if they don't, we got bigger problems. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And anyone who sells a game like that to them, like... They would be severely frowned down upon. Like, I know that even, like, I'm 33 years old. When I go into GameStop to buy my games, they're like, oh, sir, you have ID? Like, I am twice as old, almost, as the guy selling me the game. And he will card me. Like, don't tell me it doesn't happen. Like, don't tell me they're not trying. Like, don't use kids. Don't throw kids in front of this debate because, you know, you want the parents' fear to drive them politically. You know, that's sick.
Well, it's like, you know, I work at a school, and so a lot of the kids, well, they'll, like, kind of slightly mention things on the internet, like they watch Achievement Hunter Let's Plays or whatever, and I'll be like, oh,
really?
Yeah, and then I'll comment, yeah, I know that. They're like, wait, really? You know what that is? I'm like, come on, I'm not that old, guys.
Right,
let's
right,
go.
Right.
But, like, I hear them talking about Call of Duty, I hear them talking about Halo, I hear them talking about all sorts of games, and it's like, they're not messed up. Like, they're
right.
fine.
Right.
It's what they do for entertainment.
Right.
They know the difference.
Right.
So, like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. And still, I mean, like you said, it is up to their parents. Their
right.
parents and guardians to, like, decide what is appropriate for them. And it's and they should, you know, have a family structure in place so they can talk about things like that. And how about, like, that violence isn't real and it's entertainment and it shouldn't become your life and it's a hobby. And, like, man, all these things are... covered by families. Like, it shouldn't be Senator Yee telling you what to do, you know? And trying to limit the entertainment of adults, of other people, you know? Because he thinks something that is, by the way, not proven by any kind of science.
No. No, not at all. But there you go.
So thanks for apologizing, Yee.
Doesn't
really help, because then you just slapped us in the face again, but at least you sort of apologized for the first stupid thing
you said. He apologized on Twitter.
Good for him.
I mean, he means it.
That's
yeah.
where
and
the...
I bet he actually typed that tweet up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he probably
yeah,
did, yeah.
Yeah.
With his own hand, he
yep.
made those 140 characters of apology.
Uh-huh.
Good for him. Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Speaking of violent video games that destroy the youth.
Oh, yeah, this is
Grand
way
Theft
up there.
Auto. Their newest iteration is 5, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
And it was to come out, what, summer? Spring?
I thought it was like March or April.
Spring? Yeah. But now it's been delayed. It's been delayed all the way to September 17th of 2013. I think this tells us something. I think it tells us two things.
Do we have a long time to wait?
Right. Well, not just that, but I think it tells us two other things. I think it tells us that all of us are going to be busy on September 17th, 2013.
I won't.
You don't care?
No, I don't care.
Really?
Really.
Okay, Andrea and I will be busy on September 17, 2013. I think it also says something about the next-gen systems, because we haven't had any peep about release dates yet. Mm-hmm. Like, Sony and Microsoft have both not, like, they're playing this, like, Cold War, like, who's going to announce first?
Yeah.
So neither of them have announced, neither of them have showed us, like, final hardware specs or final hardware picture, what it's going to look like, what it sounds like. So we don't know any of that yet, and now we know that there are at least two major releases coming out later in this year. So now we know that Grand Theft Auto is not going to come out till September, and the new Splinter Cell now has been delayed, and it's not coming out until September. So I think that should tell us that we're probably not going to have new systems at least, what, till November, right? Because why would they...
I figured
holiday. That's what it's going to be.
Right. Because why would they shoot themselves in the foot, you mm-hmm. know? Like, why would they release something as big as the next Splinter Cell if everyone's going to spend that money in the same month and buy the new system that you can't get it on because it's a new system? Mm-hmm. And same thing with Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is, like, only the biggest, like, franchise, you know, like, outside of Call of Duty and Halo. Like, it's Grand Theft Auto. So, I don't think that they would do that, you know? So I think that we're probably not going to see those systems until, you know, November. Which is good for my pocketbook, that's for sure. And I also predict that the next Call of Duty will simultaneously release.
Oh, it will. I agree.
I think it'll be Xbox 360 and then next Xbox 2 at the same time. Because they will make $1 trillion.
Yep.
Not just $1 billion, they'll make $1 trillion. Everyone in the whole world will buy it.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, because Bungie's game is coming out this holiday, right? That's the rumor, speculation?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Would they rather keep Call of Duty this gen, and then their Bungie one will be next gen, and then next year, Black Ops 3, probably, then that'll be the next gen one?
I just think that Activision has so much money now, like, that they can just do all of it.
Yeah, they could probably make a next-gen engine in, like, a few months.
Yeah, they will. And I'm sure they probably already have it running. It's just we haven't seen anything because they can't break the radio silence until Microsoft and Sony officially announce, and they come out with everything
right.
in the world. So, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I think that they've got so much money at this point, they're just going to cast nets everywhere and catch fish everywhere, you know? Like, they've got a corner on
money.
They'll make
you fishers of gamers.
Yes, they will. They will, yeah. You will be Fisher of Call of Duty. Yeah, that's exactly what they will do. I think they'll just cast it everywhere. Because if you remember when original Xbox was going out and 360 was coming in, they had Call of Duty 2 come out as launch for 360. But at the same time, they announced they had Call of Duty Big Red 1.
Yeah, I was going to say it was different.
Yeah, but I actually, because I'm a sucker, I had both of those games because I still had my original Xbox and I bought 360 day one too because that's the way I roll.
Right.
So I had both those games and the storylines in both those games were like interconnected, so they were really close, but obviously they made concessions and levels because like original Xbox just couldn't do what the 360
right.
could do.
Right.
But I think that's going to be the same thing that's going to happen here. We're going to get one that is on 360, and then we'll get a super duper, like, whatever the newest one is, day one, too, I think. Because, like, it's generally, it's almost always, it is always, like, the second week of November, right? When Call of Duty always releases? It's always, like, the second Tuesday of...
Yeah. It's, something
it's,
like that.
Yeah, it's, like, November 11th, or November 10th, or November 12th, or November 13th, something like that. And they always, like, make it sexy with the year. So it's, like, 11, 13, 13. Or, like, 11, 12, 11. Or 11, 10, 10. Or, like, whatever. So they'll do that. That's what I predict. Predictions.
11, 12, 13?
You'd have to think so, right?
What day is the 12th, though?
I don't know.
It's
got to
be a Tuesday.
Yeah, it would have to be a Tuesday.
Well, not for them, because who cares? Like, Call of Duty's so big.
They
really...
do, because that's tradition. Everything
I get
comes out on
no,
Tuesday.
No, I know.
It's dumb.
I have to look now.
It's really stupid.
I wish they would step on the toes of the movie people and just release something on Friday. Like,
what?
I don't understand why games will come out on Friday.
You would think that they would make so much more, impulse money if it was on a Friday because you have the weekend to look ahead to.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, on a Tuesday, like, who cares? Like, unless you're a gamer like us.
Oh, my God. November 12th is a Tuesday.
So, there you go. That's when
it's
there.
It is. That's our prediction, folks. Yeah. 11, 12, 13.
11, 12, 13. How perfect is that?
Oh, my God.
You were in here first.
They should come. So,
Tuesday.
What they really should do then is they should come out with the next Xbox that day, too. They would make.
No, they will not do
you
that.
You don't think they'll do it?
No.
As
they're
going to
come out before Call of Duty.
Well, that's interesting then, because if Call of Duty comes out then, we would have to have the system before then, like at least a week.
I'd say probably a week or so before.
So like the beginning of November.
I don't know. I just feel like,
yeah.
I feel like that's too much one day. The new system and the new Call of Duty, because you know that's the Call of Duty hype train is going to start rolling.
Right, right. As soon as yeah,
month I'm or already two, on board. Probably.
Andrea is the conductor of the Call of Duty hype train
since day one. So I don't know. I feel like that's a little much. I feel like Microsoft is probably going to want to come out with its own stuff first. So
right.
Alan Wake 2.
Oh, yeah.
And whatever else they're going to bring out. I don't know.
When is Destiny? Bungie?
They haven't said.
Oh, they haven't said yet.
But people are saying, there was a leaked document a few months back.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly, this one is coming out on both current gen and next gen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This holiday, and then I think...
So that would be another thing that they would bring
out. I don't think it's going to be yearly. I think 2 years, the next one will come out.
For all next gen.
Yeah. So.
That makes sense.
But we'll see.
That makes sense. Let's get back on trashing dumb Sanders, shall we?
So you kind of already touched on that with what you were saying about violent games.
Okay. Who is it?
Oh, are you talking about the Adam Sussler thing? Or
yeah, Lamar dude.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, you're the one who has his name and stuff.
Oh. Yeah, I'm
an idiot.
Yeah, okay, so
Senator
new idiot.
Lamar Alexander.
There you go.
He's a Republican from Tennessee, so if you're from Tennessee, this is your rep.
Give him our love.
Yes, give him our love. So he came out and said on MSNBC.
Okay.
I think video games is a bigger problem than guns.
Wait. He said is and that are?
Yeah, he said is.
Good for him.
I think video games is a bigger problem than guns.
Right, because
video games affect people.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But he was asked a question about like the proposed gun control legislation and if we should have universal background checks. Like the anchor was like, do you support this? And he just started hemming and hawing, like, oh God, I can't commit to anything because I'm a politician.
Ah!
So, like, so I think
instead,
video games is a bigger problem.
Because there's only one video game. No,
right.
There's millions, so you should probably say R, right?
No.
Isn't that proper
there's
English?
There's just one.
There's just one.
Yeah.
Video games is...
one game to rule
okay,
them all.
Okay, first of all, grammar police, you are an idiot. Secondly...
this guy got elected.
Of course he did.
Oh my
of course
God.
He did. Secondly... what does that mean by affect people? Because that could be taken a million ways that are good and bad. Like, video games absolutely affect me. Like, when I'm coming home from a bad day, and I play video games, and I get out my frustration, that affects me. Like, I feel better, my heart rate goes down, I'm able to go to sleep happy. Like, yes, of course they affect me. What does he mean? You know?
Who knows? He's just jumping on the bandwagon of video game hate.
Yeah.
Right now. Because that's the convenient thing to do.
Right.
As, if we're going to transition...
yes, okay.
Adam Sussler said on Fox News, huh?
Ah,
I like that.
That was seamless.
So, this past week, Adam Sussler was on Fox News, and he talked about... he was asked to be, like, the expert on video games.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that they asked him, because
right.
I feel like... I never necessarily cared for him. I'm like, I'm not a huge Adam Sussler fan. I think he's a little, like... crazy, at least he was on X-Play.
He was a little bit,
yeah. He was, like, just really over the top.
And sometimes he can come off as a little bit narcissistic, too. Like, he really likes himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the good thing about him is he knows what, like, how a TV show works.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that he was brought on to a TV show to talk about games, like, he had his stuff together.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He prepared.
Absolutely.
He said it as succinctly as possible.
He didn't get overly emotional about it.
He didn't get overly emotional. Like, he knew what to do.
Yeah.
And we can't bring up the video here because apparently Fox News got all angry and brought it down on YouTube. Well, I don't know. There might be other videos somewhere.
Right. I think you can go straight to Fox News and find it through their videos.
Yeah, you might be able to do that.
Because it's their copyright. But
he, he pretty much owned the anchor.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he talked about how, you know, video games are the new opera.
Right, the new media.
I mean, I didn't know this, and I don't know many details about it, but apparently the Vatican tried to ban opera when that first came
absolutely.
Out. You know, same thing with, like, rock and roll.
Right.
Or comic books.
Right.
And so video games are the new kid on the block, and so they get, you know...
Right.
They get picked on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and the one thing that you talked about earlier, Mike, which she also brought up, was the fact that, you know, these games are $60.
Right.
So they're expensive, and they're not made for kids.
Right, it's clearly, like, it's clearly marked.
Not a children's game.
Right, it's clearly marked that it's not for kids.
And so, like, just his points really nailed the anchor, because, as we all know, Fox News likes to pick on video games a lot.
They do.
As was the case with Mass Effect and...
Sure. Alien sexy!
Seems like such a long time ago.
What's next?
So, so I just appreciate the fact that there is someone out there who didn't fall into a trap, knew how to present himself on TV, and was able to represent the industry, you know, the way that it should be represented.
Right.
Because, like, we can sit here and talk about, like, these points and discuss them, but I'm sure if you put a TV camera in front of me, it'd be like, bleh, words, sentences.
I'm going to put a video camera on you someday now so you can just say that.
So,
yeah.
I appreciated it.
No, he totally, yeah, everyone should go, at least, I know that to many people, going to Fox News is akin to walking into hell itself, but go to Fox News and go to their video site. I'm pretty sure that you can find it up there. It was on my Facebook from them, I think. I linked it on my private Facebook from Fox News, so I think that you can still get it from there if you can't get it on YouTube. But yeah, Adam Sessler did gamers a good turn by doing that interview. That was really awesome. I really appreciated that. So let's talk gaming community a little bit before we sign off this week. So Greg, you brought this up in kind of the pre-show fist fight we always have.
Yeah, I won today.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So you get to talk about last topic because you beat the crap out of me and Andrea. Game developers and their communities. It can be a beautiful relationship. It can be a non-existent relationship.
Yes, it can.
So let's talk a little bit about who's your favorite. If you had to give a favorite community developer, like a developer that's really good for the community surrounding their games, what would you say is your answer?
Well, I have my top three.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with third best.
Okay.
I think is Treyarch.
Really?
I'm not. I'm not a huge, like, I don't know, Call of Duty guy, as you may know from our Halo Let's Plays, where I bash it quite frequently.
You're still prestige though, in like every one.
I still prestige. Yeah. I mean, it can be fun when things are going well.
Right.
But I feel like Treyarch really, really listens to their fans.
Okay.
And I think that's evidenced by the features in the game. Like, people were saying, hey, could you put live streaming in the game?
They certainly
and
did.
And they did. Could you put that shoutcasting feature in the game? And they did. In terms of zombies, like, when I play zombies maps, especially with the last Black Ops, that's probably a better example because all the maps for that are out. But it's like, you had Ascension, Call of the Dead, which were really cool. And then they tried to, like, mess you up with Shangri-La.
Right.
But, like, that didn't jive with a lot of people, from my understanding. And so then Moon came out. But mm-hmm. And it was kind of back to that classic zombie formula. And I just feel they do a good job of keeping track of people on the forums, balancing their weapons based on what people want and what they don't want.
Right.
So I just think there's a lot of thought that goes into their fan base, and I appreciate that a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if you all have the same feelings of Treyarch.
Oh, yeah, I like Treyarch a lot.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I mean, I think that Call of Duty is kind of so big that in some ways it can't win, and it also in some ways can't lose. Like, it's kind of trapped by its own success, I think, and that's not necessarily a fault of the developer. It's just like, if you are any developer at this point, working on Call of Duty, you're kind of trapped. You're kind of trapped by the hype machine and the expectations of what it should be. Mm-hmm. So all of my shortcomings with Call of Duty are not really my problem with Treyarch. It's my problem with Call of Duty. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but everyone else loves those things about the game, so like I can't really complain. And as far as like the community side of it, I've been on their forums before. Like, I mostly just lurk around when I want to, like, learn something about what's coming up in the game. But, like, yeah, they do seem to answer. Like, there's developers that, like, call on the forums and like, actually physically type in answers to people. So, you know, I gotta give them credit for that, especially because now they're so big because of Call of Duty. They could just ignore everyone. They could just not care.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree with you on that. Yeah, sure.
Second best,
okay,
I think, is Bungie.
I'll give you that one.
I think they're very, very vocal with their fan base.
Oh,
I think Halo, I mean, obviously put them on the map as, like, a mainstream developer, AAA.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, like, in terms of re-releasing older maps and newer map packs, you know, I appreciate the fact that they always bring back the fan favorites. Like, I cannot imagine how annoyed those multiplayer people must have been when they're like, oh, really? I need to develop Blood Gulch again?
Hey, but people like it. Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, we like it, and we appreciate, I appreciate the fact that they've made it, what, 4 separate times now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or 3 separate.
However
many times.
Many.
Yeah. Many times. But I also think, and we've talked about this a little bit in previous episodes, how the community playlists, you know, they're always very into, you know, what people are making, and they put it into the game, like zombies.
Sure, yeah.
Was a community thing.
Right.
Griffball was a community thing. And even in Reach, they had that secret room
right
at the end where it was, like, all the fan,
right,
like, the bigger fan stuff that you could, like, check out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's just, like, that is awesome, the fact that they did that. Or even Halo 3, they took the red versus blue guys, and they were in it.
Right.
You know, it's just, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That these people who are very, very successful on the internet, just making, like, stupid internet videos.
Right.
Bungie sat up and took notice, and they're like, oh, hey, how about we put you in the actual game?
Right.
Like, I think I'd just have a heart attack if a developer came to us and was like, we really like you, cow people, so let's put you in a game.
Yes, I think I would. I think I'd die. Like, even if I got to be, like, a random soldier in the corner of like, a Halo game, you know what I mean?
Reload!
Like, yeah.
That's my whole line, the whole game.
I don't care. Like, I would live off that, like, as far as, like, video game nerdgasm, I'd live off that the rest of my life. I'd be like, I was a soldier in a Halo game. Like, that would kill me. It would be so cool. But yeah, I would agree with you. Okay, so Bungie's a hard act to top, so who's your number one?
My number one is Valve.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Except the fact that they will never bring out Half-Life 3.
Yeah, I mean, aside from their terrible release schedule.
Right, which is whenever the hell they want.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, they are the epitome of, like, the perfect developer. I mean, like, when you look at Steam and just how user-friendly it is, how innovative they're trying to make it, like, with the big screen thing.
Yeah.
So you can use your controller.
Sure.
Just the deals that they have on there. You know, how they're always cutting prices, and, you know, they want people to play. That's
absolutely
the whole point. It's not to make money, although they make billions of dollars.
Yeah, they make enough money.
But they know how to do that. You know, they know how to balance the two.
Right.
And I also think when it comes to, you know, just the games that they make, they're super high quality. People really, really appreciate them. And, I mean, they listen. When people want something, they listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I think about, like, what was it? Like, somebody came from Canada with, like, a sign. It was like, where's Half-Life 3?
Right,
and
right.
Like, Gabe Newell,
right,
the CEO,
like, came out,
the richest men in the world, just came out and brought him in and, like, made him a sandwich or something.
It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, like, that's amazing.
Yeah. No,
and
that's
the fact
awesome
that, you know, when Left 4 Dead 2 was announced, that whole boycott garbage.
And they talked about it,
brought them in and said, no, like, this is why we're making a new game. Like, please play our game.
Right. Right. No, yeah, I totally dig that. That's
I think
really
they
cool
really listen to their fans, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think they're just putzing around with Half-Life because, you know, when you think about Half-Life 1 and what that was doing back in the day, and Half-Life 2 and what that was doing back in the day, like, they're just waiting for, like, something that they can use to be super innovative and keep that quality high.
I think they're waiting for Steambox to come out, their own hardware.
That too.
And yeah, like, they're probably going to go super res with it, so they'll wait for, like, 4K or something and make it look like nothing has ever looked and make it sound like nothing's ever
sounded.
Exactly,
and that's why they're waiting.
Right, it'll be incredible. Whatever comes out, it'll be incredible. It's just going to piss me off that's never going to come out until it's incredible enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just bring it out, but whatever.
I mean, I'd say that's probably a flaw in their company.
Yeah.
Like, at least in terms of the waiting part. It's a flaw because they want everything to be perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, when we get that product, you know, I mean, I can still pop in Left 4 Dead 2 now, and it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You can still play, if you play Half-Life 2 right now on the computer, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's still incredible. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, so
those
good
are my
for them.
Top three.
I would agree with those.
I don't know what you think of those.
I would agree with those. The only developer that would maybe give it a run for its money in my mind is Gearbox.
Yeah,
I really like.
Those are the Borderlands people, right?
Yeah. Borderlands, Aliens, Colonial Marines. Yeah, I really love their community. They have a really nice community site that they built separate from their company, which I believe is called Gearboxity or something silly like that. but it's a really good, it's a really well made community site, and really regularly will the developers come on and answer questions like Q&As on the forum. So if you go on there, you can really get some really nice information about upcoming games and also the design choices that they made. Like, if people, like, you know, like, people on the internet rant and rave all the time. It's kind of what the internet is for, is to go flame people. But, like, when they get serious questions on their site, like, they really make an effort to, like, be like, well, we made this decision because we thought this and this, and, like, you might not like it, but at least you get an answer. You know what I mean? At least you get something. I would also, although it remains to be seen what's going to happen now that the leadership is gone, but I would also add BioWare to that. I like BioWare's community site. I think that they have done a really good job in dealing with scandal, like especially the Mass Effect 3 ending scandal. Mm-hmm. Like, we might not like it, like we might not like what the end result was, but at least they recognized that it was a big deal to gamers, and even though they didn't have to do anything, they had already made their millions of dollars, they made an extended cut simply because of that. Like, because they were like, okay, like, we know you want more, we're going to give you more, we're going to try to wrap this up better, sorry, basically. And they didn't have to do any of that, so, like, I give them a lot of props for that. We'll see what happens now that the two doctors are gone, that the leadership left. But I also like that they continuously do community nights, like, even though, like, Mass Effect 3 now is, like, pretty much dead to all of us, like, they still do multiplayer weekends, they still do, like, special things.
Same thing with Red Dead. You know,
right, and they still
things
do,
like, play, you know, play with developers.
Right,
and
right. Yeah, so Rockstar isn't it, then we can put in the, like, top three.
Yeah,
probably,
well, there's
too.
A ton
they're
of
awesome.
Companies
yeah.
that are awesome. You know,
so let's talk. Let's take. We can't be the Monday Mooncast without bitching about
some
something
negative.
That's horrible. So right before we go, let's just talk game developers, which make us go because they really don't listen to their community or they just do stupid stuff. Greg, go for it.
I never really interacted with them, but from what I've heard, Infinity Ward's pretty notorious for not.
They're pretty jerky.
Really
not
listening
Infinity
to their
Ward.
Fans.
I love you, Infinity Ward. Don't listen to them.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think Crytek can be a little jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might just
holding
be
time splitters hostage.
Right. It might just be because this sounds like completely like nationalistic and jerky. I don't mean it to, but it could be that something is just lost in translation because they're a German company. And and everyone who talks for them, like, PR-wise, is, like, German. And it's obvious that English is not their second language. It is their second language. And that's just me being a jerk American. But, like, but even on their forums, too, they're, like, very, like, Germanic. Like, they're very strict. Mm-hmm. And, like, not, like, they don't get, like, the nuance of people, like, typing a question to them. They're just like, no, we will release game when we want. Or, like, something like that.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, oh, my God, you jerks. You know? Yeah, and I think that you're also right about the time splitters thing. Like, that is such a fan, that's such a big want from any of us who played those games before. Like, we just, like, it doesn't even have to be anything than it was. Just upscale it and re-release it on arcade. Like, please,
right.
I love those games. Please, 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 I want to play them again, you know? So.
Right.
It's silly to me that they're, like, making a big deal that it doesn't really have to be a big deal for them.
I'd say another, I can't speak to them in terms of how they treat their fans, but another, like, obnoxious, like, response would be id.
Oh, yeah.
How they're always like, it's done when it's done.
Yeah, thanks, id.
Yeah, you're so helpful. And, like, I love how when Bethesda bought them, they were like, no, you're giving a release date. And so, like, immediately after they bought them, like, oh, yeah, Rage is coming out next September.
Yeah.
It was just like, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And you know what? That brings up another good one. I guess maybe we'll end on some positivity for once. Bethesda. I love Bethesda.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bethesda has so many resources on their website. Like, they have the Bethesda blog, which is huge, has a huge following. They have a big community portion of their own website. They put up, like, artwork and special things on their website all the time. So if you are at all interested in, like, the lore of their games or the storyline behind, like, Elder Scrolls or Fallout. Like, they've got everything up for you to, like, just nerd out over. So that's really cool, because they don't have to do any of that. Like, they don't.
No, they don't.
Bottom line is, all they have to do is make their game and take their millions, you know? But, like, the fact that they put out extra stuff is actually really awesome.
Yes.
All right, guys, so I think we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for listening to us wherever you listen to us. We're on Podomatic, we're on iTunes, and, of course, we're on YouTube as well. We really appreciate all of the attention at any and all those places.
If you have the time, also, we'd really appreciate it if you take a moment to rate our podcast.
Oh, please do, yeah.
Because we're hoping to maybe get picked up as, like, a new... What'd you call it,
Mike? New and noteworthy.
New and noteworthy.
Yeah, we would love to get that.
So if we can get some positive reviews, that would help us on our goal. So
yeah, and we just got over, we're over 40 subscribers now on YouTube and over 6,000 views. So we couldn't have, of course, any of that without any of you. And we really, really appreciate it. So thank you so much. Of course, you can always leave a like, a comment if you want to hear something different, if you want us to, well, whatever. The only
talk
thing,
about something.
The only thing we won't do is fire Andrea. We can, you know, Greg's on the table, but we won't fire Andrea.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
We need to talk after.
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
I was kind of quiet
the fist fight.
Episode, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got stuff on your mind. It's okay. All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Oh, Super Bowl predictions. Super Bowl's tonight. Super Bowl's tonight.
Oh,
49ers?
Yeah,
49ers. 49ers? I'm going to say 49ers, too. We're going to see if they win.
Oh,
all right.
Unanimous.
See you next time.
Moo.